Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. We're so thankful for each one of you that are here today. We had just, I think, about 37 people yesterday that came to the prayer visitation breakfast and went out in the community, inviting others to the services, and some went and ministered to people that are hurting. God knows what He's doing, amen, in these days, and we're just grateful for what God is doing. 1 John this morning, that's over there in front of the book of Jude in the last book, Revelation. 1 John, chapter number 1. Pray for us today. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. I want you to just notice how John starts the book. He doesn't start the book talking about himself. He starts the book talking about his Savior. John is a wonderful, wonderful example to the Christian. The Bible said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, watch this, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the precious spirit, the precious singing today, Lord, that's spoken to our hearts. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would take the message that you've burned into our heart and seal it, Father, today, with the Holy Spirit of God. God, I know today that you want to help someone. God, I pray that you will. Lord, all you need is somebody that's willing. Lord, you're willing to help. God, I pray that, Lord, we'd be willing to receive help. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd meet the needs of your darling people. And God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach today on this subject. I titled the message, A Little Book with Some Big Blessings. A little book, 1 John's a little book, not a real big book. But I tell you what, it's got some big blessings in it. I want to share them with you today. There are five chapters in this book. That's not many chapters. But I tell you what, five is in the Word of God. It's a number of grace. Hallelujah for the grace of God. And there are 105 verses in 1 John. And that's not many verses. But I tell you, there's many blessings. There's a little book, but it's got some great old big blessings in it for us today. I pray that God will help us to see some truth that will transform our minds. I want to give you some things today, just three things in the message, and then share them with you today. Trust that God will work in our heart. First, I want to share with you the person who wrote the book. Some things about John, the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a little background about his person. The Bible, John mentioned himself in the Word of God. He calls himself that other disciple. And I like this. I didn't catch this until I was reading it early this morning again. Jesus, he calls himself that disciple whom Jesus loved. Think about this for just a minute. There's a truth right there that we need to think about. John wasn't talking about his love for him, his love for Jesus. He was talking about Jesus' love for John. That disciple whom Jesus loved. That other disciple wouldn't even talk about and call his own name. I want to give you some things here and looking at the person who wrote the book. I want to say, first of all, that John experienced these blessings. I want to say something to us today that I trust will go down deep in our heart. I think one of the things that's wrong in modern Christianity is that we are trying to speak out of something that we have not experienced ourselves. I believe with all of my heart, friend of mine, in witnessing. I believe in all of my heart in telling others about Jesus. But I tell you, it has to come from a walk of communion with God. It has to come with from a spirit of being filled and controlled by the Spirit of the living God. I believe when it does, it'll be like it was in John's life. In verse number one, John experienced these blessings. He said, it's something that I've heard. He said, it's something that I've seen. It's something that I've looked on. And really, it's not something, but it's someone. He said, my hands have handled the Word of life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John said, I'm not just telling you about something I've heard, but I'm telling you about something I've seen. I'm telling you about something I've handled. I'm telling you about someone that I have experienced in my life. His name is Jesus. I believe with all of my heart there's an experience that John is speaking from. He said in verse number 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested unto us. I believe with all of my heart this morning, it's one thing to stand and try to tell somebody out of a book how to weld. But it's another thing to pick up a stinger and a welding rod and hook up the ground and show them. Amen. I'll tell you something right now, beloved, there is no teacher like experience. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that John is one that we ought to listen to because he's got some experience to back up his words. Amen. It's not just empty words. He said, I want to tell you some things today, and I'm speaking from experience. So John experienced these blessings. But secondly, watch this. I believe we're guilty of this sometimes. I believe sometimes we have experienced the blessings of God. But John took one more step. He said, I don't want to keep these blessings to myself. I want to share these blessings with those that are around me. Look what the Bible said in verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, what's he do? He said, I want to declare it unto you. I want to share it. Amen. I tell you something right now, I'm concerned about people that have a Jesus that they don't want to share. I'm concerned about people that, my friend, have the blessings of God and don't want to share them. Amen. John said, hey, God's been good to me, and I want to declare it unto you. I want to tell you about the goodness of God. There's a person that wrote the book. John is a wonderful, wonderful person. You think about John. John laid his head over on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, he heard the heartbeat of the Lamb of God. Are you listening to me? I tell you, my friend, he stood there at the foot of that old cross, and Jesus hanging upon that cross in agony. He looked down and said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." I tell you, John wasn't off in the corner somewhere cussing. John wasn't off in the corner somewhere denying that he knew him. John was standing right at the foot of the cross while the blood dripped down, and he was hanging in there close to his Savior. Amen. And I thank God he's speaking from experience, and he wants to share that blessing with us today. The person who read the book. Secondly, this is, my friend, probably the gist of the message today. But let's look at the purpose of the book, or ask ourselves the question, why did John write it? Why did the Holy Ghost? Now listen, when I say John wrote it, I think you all know what I mean, but let me back up just a minute. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God. John was just a tool. He was just an instrument in the hands of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the scripture was not given by John, but it was given by God to John for us in this generation that we live in. Amen. Think about this for just a minute. The purpose of the book. I hope you'll get this. Look here in chapter number 1 and verse 3. Here we start with the purpose. He said that you all may also have fellowship with us. The first thing I see in the purpose of this book, John said, I want you to have some fellowship. He said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to try just a minute to get you to get this in your heart and in your mind. And my friend John is saying, I'm walking with somebody. And if you're walking with me, you'll be walking with somebody too. I tell you, he said, I'm fellowshipping with the Savior. And if you'll come on over here and fellowship with me, we'll both be fellowshipping with the same Savior. We'll both be headed in the same direction. We'll both be fellowshipping with the God of heaven. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Listen, I believe it would scare us in Kingsport, Tennessee, to know how many people are sitting on church pews in Kingsport, Tennessee, this very hour, that are not walking in fellowship with the Son of God. I tell you, you walk in fellowship with Him, He's good on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's not just a one day a week show up for an hour and go your own way. When you fellowship with Him, He'll walk with you every step of the way. Oh, thank God. John said, listen, I'm writing this book. I tell you why God's given me this book. Because I want you to have fellowship. I want you to have fellowship. Years ago, my dad and I were working on a sheep barn out in the middle of a sheep field. We didn't have a generator. We didn't know what a pass load nail gun was that you could take out there with a battery and a tube of gas and put in it. We didn't know what an air nailer was even at that time. I tell you, we were out there in that sheep field building a barn. What were you doing that for, preacher? Trying to scratch out a living. Trying to feed some youngins. Trying to put clothes on their back. Amen. Because God said a man ought to work. Amen. We were out there in the field working. My dad and I can remember this little illustration. It's funny. I just got to tell it because it's so funny. We turned a 50-pound box of 20-pound nails, 20-penny nails, turned it over. By accident. You don't do that on purpose in grass that deep. Amen. And so we got down on our knees and we were picking up the nails and trying to get them back in the box. And my dad got him a big double handful of nails. And honest, about the time he went like that, I slid the box over so I could put my nails in it. Amen. Now that was funny. And we both picked them up again. He done picked them up once and I moved the box and he threw them right back in the grass. And I'll tell you something right now. Listen, my dad and I had words that day. Oh God, help me. Oh, I tell you, I could go back in my mind's eye and I could think about sprouting off of this mouth to my daddy. And I can think about my daddy walking around the corner of that barn going out of sight. with his head hung down. I believe he was so ashamed of what had just happened between him and his son. Can I tell you that as he walked away from me, I still had a relationship with him. He was still my father. I had hurt him deeply, but what was missing was fellowship. Our fellowship was severed. It was seared. And I tell you, it was bothering me so bad. I went around on the other side. Dad was up on that ladder. I said, Dad, would you come down here a minute? I tell you, I couldn't stand 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I couldn't stand it at being broken in fellowship with my earthly father. He said, what do you want, son? I said, Daddy, please, just come down here a minute. He reluctantly come down to the foot of that ladder. I told my father, I said, Dad, you've never done anything but work and scrap and try to make a living and keep clothes on our back. I tell you, I was 24, 25 years old. Brother Larry, I looked at my daddy. I said, Daddy, you have done nothing to deserve to be talked to like that. And I said, Daddy, I need you to forgive me. And if you'll forgive me and God will help me, I'll never speak to you that way again. You say, preacher, what happens? How many knows what happened? Thank God I didn't just have relationship. I wasn't just his son anymore. I had fellowship once again with my father. I'll tell you something this morning. There's somebody in this building that needs to get tired, sick and tired of your heavenly father walking around the corner with his head down. And my friend, you knowing that that fellowship is not sweet, and you've not had that fellowship with him like you used to. You don't have a prayer life. You don't have a Bible study life. You come because it's the right thing to do. But God's not meeting with you, and you don't have fellowship with God. Oh, friend of mine, you say whatever you want to. Every one of us at some time in our Christian experience has just went through the motions. Help me. We just went through the motions. And a lot of times the only thing we went through the motions, it wasn't because we feared God. We was afraid what somebody's going to say. Amen. But John said, I'll tell you why I'm writing this book. I want you to have fellowship. He said, I want you to have fellowship with the saints. I want you to have fellowship with the Savior. I want you to have fellowship with the Scripture, with the Word of life. Amen. The purpose of the book. Number one, fellowship. Number two, fullness of joy. Let me tell you something right now. There is no substitute for fellowship. And can I tell you what real fellowship will produce? Real joy. I tell you, a man that's really walking with God, really listening to God, really trying to obey God, is a really happy man. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand. John went through some hard times. James went through some hard times. Peter went through some hard times. Stephen went through some hard times. But you study their life because they walk in fellowship with God. They were happy in the midst of it all. And they had the fullness of God's joy. There's people in this building been around longer than I have. And you can remember down on the farm when people worked like dogs, but they had the joy of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, you can remember when people walked further than we drive to the house of God, but they had the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you, you can remember when they fellowshiped with God before they ever got to the house of God, before they ever got to prayer meeting as a praying. I tell you, the purpose of the book is fellowship. The purpose of the book is fullness of joy. The Bible said, look at verse 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want your joy to be full, John said. God wants your joy to be full, John said. By the way, let me just say this to you. Has anybody ever felt so weak in your Christian experience? Come on now. You say, well, preacher, where in the world are we going to get our strength from? The joy of the Lord's your strength. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart, John is saying to us, I've got some great big blessings in this little bitty book. And one of them is fellowship with God. And the other one is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Brother Anthony, remember when you got up off the altar? Remember, brother? Amen. Was you half full or was you full?
You're so full you couldn't stand it. Amen. But you know what I believe? I believe if we're not careful, our dear brother taught us in Sunday school, the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the things of the old devil will come along and my friend try to stamp out that joy in our heart, and God wants us to have it back. David, my friend, he lost that joy. In Psalm 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You know what that tells me? Now listen, I may be wrong about this, but I believe I'm right. You know what I believe? I believe that whole year that David was out of fellowship with God, he didn't bother telling anybody about his God. Say amen. I don't believe he was telling anybody about his God, telling anybody about his blessings, because my friend, his father and he were not fellowshipping. He still had a father. He still had a relationship, but he did not have fellowship with God. You say, "Preacher, what happened to David's fellowship?" Well, let me just give you something. The Lord showed me this sometime back. I may have shared it here, I'm not sure. It's been several years ago. How many's ever heard somebody testify and say, "The devil robbed me of my joy"? How many's ever heard that? I've heard it. I've probably even said it somewhere along the way. Let me tell you something right now. I don't believe that's true. If we will go back and examine our lives, the devil didn't rob David. He traded it. David said, "Here's joy. Here's a woman bathing. I think I'll just trade." Oh, he didn't say that out loud. Say amen. And we didn't either. But I tell you what happens, my friend. The devil's slick. Amen. And he gets us to lusting and longing for things that we got no business lusting and longing after. And if we're not careful, we'll trade our joy. Some people have traded their joy for a grudge. I talked to a woman yesterday on visitation after visitation was over. She don't live far from here. And she went to a church, need some help, tithed for 23 years. And the church said, "We'll give you one box of food a month. That's it." And she got mad. And she's bitter. And she's tried every way in the world to disprove the Word of God and disprove the things of God. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, listen, that God wants us to have the fullness of joy, but the enemy does not. Because we can be an effective Christian if we got joy. But if we don't have joy, we're just like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The Bible's teaching us here the purpose of the book is fellowship. The purpose of the book is joy. The fullness of joy. I thank God for that song I heard sometime back. It said, "I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowed." Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord. You say, "Preacher, how in the world can we get our cup filled?" I tell you how. Get it emptied. And then turn it up. And then ask Him to fill it. Amen. I tell you what, you keep your cup turned over like that. Hang on to that grudge. Hang on to that sin. And God will never fill you with joy. But if you'll turn her up and say, "God, fill me. Fill me. Fill me with the joy of the Lord." I tell you what God will do. God will do it. Amen. I tell you something right now. You know, if my cup gets full, watch this. If my cup gets full, what just happened? Now, you all full with me, and I'll go get me two bottles of water and show you. My cup gets full, what just happened? Somebody else got something. Oh, Brother Gale say, "What's that on my shoulder?" Oh, that's his cup running over. I tell you something right now, I believe with all of my heart, by the way, God wants us to have some old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled children of God around here. It'll get so full that it'll run over of somebody else. Oh, you say, "Preacher, we expect you to be full." He does too. Let me give you something. It don't stop with the pulpit. God expects every one of His youngins to be full. Full of joy. Fellowshipping with God. Fullness of joy. What about this now? What else did he write the book for? What's the purpose of the book? Look here with me, if you will, in chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what goes with fellowship? Forgiveness. You can't have fellowship without forgiveness. And you can't have forgiveness without fellowship. Now you think about this for just a minute. Say amen. When God cleanses us, that puts us back. Brother Anthony, you said you're not perfect. You didn't have to tell me that. I already knew it. And you already knew it about your pastor. But I thank God you realize you're not perfect. You know what God does when you ask him to forgive you, brother? He takes you right back and fills you up like he did to start with. Say amen. You get it out of the way. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The purpose of the book is the fullness of joy, fellowship with the Savior, but it's also the forgiveness of sin. God wants us to see that sin is not the end. My friend, it can be forgiven. In chapter 2, in verse number 1, or excuse me, verse number 2, the Bible said he is the propitiation for our sin. Not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. How many believe Jesus paid it all? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's the forgiveness of sin. Let me give you this. Look at chapter number 2 and verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. John wrote this book so we could know something about joy, know something about fellowship, and know something about the forgiveness of sin. Let me give you something. Not only the forgiveness of sin. Look at John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children. Let me just stop and say something right here. I'll say more about it later in the message. This is written to God's people. My little children. Watch this. These things write I unto you that you sin not. Let me say something to you. I'm not trying to be mean, but a whole lot of people wants chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God that's in the book. But chapter 2 verse 1's in the book too. John said, I'm writing this. Brother Larry, we don't have to sin. I'm writing this unto you that you sin not. You said, preacher, wait a minute. Watch this. You said, preacher, I don't understand the truths of this book. Let me help you here just a minute. How many's ever had a credit card? How many's, I'm asking for a confession. My hand's already up. How many's ever let a credit card get you in trouble? You know how it got us in trouble? It wasn't with one great big charge. It was with a whole lot of little ones. You know how people start out with salvation by grace, so full, so happy, so fellowshipping with God, their sins are forgiven, and they end up years down the road, and they don't even know, my friend, if they've been saved. They don't have a place in the house of God. They no longer have a hunger for the Word of God. They don't even know if they're in the family of God. It didn't happen with one big charge. It happened with little charge. We let this little thing go. I've seen this. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It was about 11 years ago before we had a TV. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. We was better off without it. You don't have to agree with me. I've just been examining myself. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Now watch. How many members when you first got saved and how easy it was when somebody said a dirty word to turn that thing off? How many understands that as we go along, we get desensitized to that? How many understands that you can't even watch a basketball game anymore without somebody wanting to be half naked? It's probably two-thirds naked, amen, in front of you. I'm just saying, my friend, listen to me. What happens, the same thing happens in this walk of life. We let this go, and we let that go, and we let this go. And the first thing you know, we don't have joy. The first thing you know, we don't have fellowship. And the first thing you know, we don't even know if we have forgiveness of sins. Charged it here. I can remember getting some of those bills. Now back yonder, I was making $4 an hour. Amen. And when you get a credit card bill for $225 and you're making $4 an hour, you do the math. That's a huge bill. And I can remember I'd look at my wife and say, there's got to be some mistake. And you look at that thing and you go down through there and, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. Well, there must be a mistake in the math. And you get a calculator out. And all them little figures adds up to that big figure down there. How many knows what I'm talking about? Won't y'all just go ahead and shine your halos and act like you've always been all right financially. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The same thing happens in the Christian walk. We let this go, let that go, let this go. And over yonder at the bottom of the bill, it's way over our head and we're overwhelmed with it. And don't understand how we got in such a mess. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Same thing has happened with prescription drugs. I could go to the doctor right now, I will guarantee you, and get whatever I wanted to take. You say, well, preacher, why don't you want to take it? I tell you why I don't want to take it. I've seen what it's done to some of my brethren. I don't want to take the stuff that alters your mind. Amen? Right now, I think y'all are wonderful people. If I get to taking that stuff, I might change my mind. I don't want to. You go to the doctor. One little drink. One cigarette. Now we want to outlaw cigarettes and legalize marijuana. Strain at the gnat and swallow the camel. This country's good at that if you haven't noticed. They're good at it. God help us this morning to understand that fellowship, it comes about not by never making a mistake, Brother Anthony, but by keeping short accounts. That means when we say something we shouldn't say it, just stop and say, Lord, I know I shouldn't have said that. God, forgive me. You say, well, what happens? Fellowship is instantly restored. But when we let it go and let it go and let it go and let it go, I'm telling you, John said, I wrote this book because I want you to have some joy. I wrote this book because I want you to have fellowship. I wrote this book because I want you to have forgiveness of sin. The purpose of the book. Thirdly, the promise of the book. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you. I'm glad I could put my name right there. Why? Because Brother Rick believed on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I learned this week as I studied that verse. And then it says, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How many sees that? Well, I didn't understand that, you know, I've written it to you because you've already believed, but I want you to know that you have eternal life, and then I want you to do some more believing. That second word, believe, carries with it a deeper. In other words, my love for my wife, 34, honey, 35 this year, this September. My love for my wife, 35 years after I said I do, should be deeper than when I said I do. Anthony, you've testified this morning your love for your Savior 2 years after you said, save me, Lord. Shouldn't be the same. It ought to be deeper. Your faith ought to be deeper. Your walk ought to be deeper. It ought to be closer. I'm telling you, it ought to be sweeter. One old fellow down North Carolina, his name was Uncle Bud. Uncle Bud, Sister Della, is that you sitting back there? Are you trying to hide from me? Amen. This fellow in North Carolina, Uncle Bud, he talked with a lisp. And he went to the doctor. And every time he went to the doctor, he went to witnessing. And he went to shouting. And he went to sharing the things of God. And the doctor told him one day, he said, I've got some bad news. He said, but please, Bud, don't start that shouting. And the doctor told him, he said, you've got sugar. Uncle Bud said, pray God, pray God, pray God. He was saying, praise God. He said, I know it's getting gooder and gooder and tweeter and tweeter, but I didn't know it turned into tugger. Amen. His walk with God was getting sweeter as the ages rolled by. That ought to be the way it is. Look at this promise. Let me give you something. This promise is something that everybody wants. But most people in this generation want the promise without the premise. And in order to enjoy the promise, you must be born again. In order to enjoy the promise of eternal life, we must believe. Unto you that believe. There's a difference, my friend, believing with the heart and believing with the head. You say, preacher, what will believing with the head do? It'll soothe your conscience for a little while. And it'll leave you living the same life that you always lived. What will believing in the heart do, preacher? It will produce a new creature in Christ Jesus. I tell you, it will make a change, a drastic change in your life. Let me give you something here, and I'll try to quit. I tell you what, I'm doing my best to obey the Lord. The person who wrote the book, the purpose of the book, the promise of the book, true believing will translate into true behaving. Listen to me carefully. True believing will translate into true behaving. Watch this. The Bible's talking us here. It'll be revealed. True belief will be revealed. Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, it'll be revealed in who we love. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. When a man is a true believer, he loves the people of God. He loves the brethren. Secondly, true believing that produces true behaving will be revealed in not only who we love. The Bible said we love the brethren, we love the saints. But over there in chapter 4, it said we love him. But it did say we love him. You're right. I'm getting to that in a minute, brother. Brother Gale's going on down the road with me here. Amen. No, you're good, brother. I like it. I'm guilty of it. When a man of God quits quoting the scripture and I know a little bit of it, I want to go with him. Amen. We love him. How many remembers when you fell in love with him? The church at Ephesus. Listen to me carefully. The Bible did not say, this goes along with what I said a while ago. Sister Jennifer didn't say they lost their first love. Didn't say that, did it? Said they left it. They left their first love. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. When God's people leave their first love, we're spinning our wheels. The worship's not true. It's not true worship. We're not getting anything from the Word of God. It's not feeding us like it once did. We pray and we feel like there's a 3/4-inch steel plate right over our head, like just bouncing off and bouncing off, like the heavens are bright. How many knows what I'm talking about? But true believing, it'll be revealed in who we love. We'll love the saints. We'll love the Savior. Secondly, it'll be revealed in what we love. This is where God has had to help me not to get mad, but to get glad. Not to say amen, but to say oh me. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Who we love, number one. What we love, number two. Look at 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. The Bible said, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me just give you something. How many's got a house that needs to be washed? It's spring. I'm talking about that vinyl, them windows, and that overhang. Hey, spider webs, ain't they? Thank God for pressure washers. Thank God for vinyl siding. How many's got a yard that needs to be mowed? I done mowed once. Somebody's talking yesterday, Brother Wayne, I guess we were talking about fertilizing grass. Your pastor believes that's a sin. Gotta be. Now it's time to wash the car. It's time to wax the car. It's time to wash the house. How many's with me? You ladies, it's time to clean some closets out. How many's with me? Time to do some things around the house. You say, well, preacher, I'd never be guilty of loving the world. We will if we ain't careful. What would we do if we kept a journal, Brother John, of our time in a week? Kept a journal of TV time. Kept a journal of house time, car time. Kept a journal of our time. Could we get down to the end of the week and say, boy, oh, how I love Jesus. Or would we have to say, oh me. We had time for this. We had time for that. We had time for this. I mentioned this Wednesday night. I'll mention it again. Brother Frankie said he'd be here tonight. Brother Frankie said God woke him up. He went in with a conscious decision. 9:30. He had worked all day. He said, I'm going to spend some time with my family. And he did. And he should. He said, my Heavenly Father woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, when are you going to spend some time with me? I'm just telling you. You want to know where your joy went? Hello? You say, preacher, what if I would put God first? Then you could grin while you're running the pressure washer. You could sing while you're riding the mower. You could shout hallelujah when the mower quits. Is anybody with me? You could have a flat tire along the road and say, well, glory to God, nobody got hurt. You might even say, well, it's only flat on one side. I'm just telling you, every one of us in this room that has walked in fellowship with God knows that we handle the trials completely different when we're walking with God than when we're not walking with God. Who we love, what we love, what about this, why we love. See, God not only knows, Brother Johnny, what we love, but who we love, but he knows why we love. We love him. Somebody tell me the rest of the verse. Thank you, brother. That's why we love, because he first loved us. I didn't think I had 15 minutes of preaching in me this morning. When I got up, I thought I'd give you this and we'd go to the house and be done for noon for a change. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Regardless of what time it is, it's a lot later than we think. God needs some people to get real. In closing, let me say just a couple things quickly. Why should we be concerned? Look at chapter 2, verse 18. It said, little children, it is the last time. How many believes that? Brother Jeff, it is the last time. Not maybe. Not I think so. John said that 2,000 years ago when he was right. It is the last time. It's the last time. If we're going to do anything for God, we better get at it. Time's a wasting. It's the last time. Secondly, what do we need? Let me give you a couple things right here. Look at chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible said, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Saved people. Saved people need some fresh oil. We need an unction from the Holy One. Lost people do not need fresh oil. They need a fresh start. They need to be born again. Saved people need fresh oil. Lost people need a fresh start. Let me just give you this. A saved individual, genuinely born again, will never be born again. Amen. Let me give you another thing. Lost people will never experience fresh oil. Never. Because in order to have fresh oil, you got to have oil. And if there's no oil in the lamp, Jesus is coming. That lamp's not going. How do we get what we need? Why should we be concerned? It's the last time. What do we need? Fresh oil. A fresh start. How do we get what we need? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We need to hear. We need to see something. We need to look to Him. We need to hear the gospel. We need to heed the warning. And then we can have eternal life. What is the result of getting what we need? I want you to look at this verse of Scripture. Many years as I've been reading the Bible, I've never seen this. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 8. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because, somebody tell me what that next statement is. The darkness is past. This book tells us over and over and over again, if we're walking in darkness, quit kidding ourselves. When a man gets saved, the darkness is behind him. The Bible said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible said, the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Hallelujah. There's no excuse for God's people not to walk in the light as He is in the light and to have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse us from all sin.